use of the term Arab Spring has died out as we approach the end of 2012. In its place has come a harsh winter. Egypt, as we've just heard, is mired by the competing claims of democracy and theocracy. The Foreign Secretary, William Hague, said that in Syria, there's now evidence that the regime is preparing to use chemical weapons. For BH, the BBC's Middle East editor, Jeremy Bowen, discussed past, present and future from Damascus.
I first visited Damascus in about 1997, maybe 96, when I was based in Jerusalem. It was very hard to get visas. Damascus, Syria, was really quite closed up. It was in the time of the father of the current president, Hafez al-Assad, the man who really built the regime. Assad Sr. used force to impose himself on the country. Until he took over in 1970, there had been a succession of coups. They had a lot of instability going right back to 1948. But he imposed himself on the country, stabilized it using very draconian powers. And as a result of that, when he died, there was an uncontested succession to his son.
Let's talk about that after we recall the moment in 2000 when you were among those who witnessed the funeral of Hafez al-Assad.
Power in Syria has been inherited by President Assad's son Bashar, who's starting to look like a leader. This was no place for Bashar al-Assad's personal grief. It was state business. He carried himself well. He passed the first test.
Now, that was the year 2000. Can we think of another example in the whole of the Middle East where the son of a leader inherited the power?
Well, apart from kings...
But
actually, one of the things I think that sparked the Arab uprisings, one of the things that was a last straw for a lot of people, were the number of leaders who were trying to emulate the first president Assad and get their sons onto really what you could call a throne, a presidential throne. Mubarak was trying to do that in Egypt with his son Gamal. Gaddafi was trying to do that in Libya with his son Saif al-Islam. In Tunisia, it was a family business as well. And I think that for quite a lot of people, when they saw, for example, Mubarak Jr. preparing to ascend the throne, they just thought, my God, you know, we thought that there might be some respite after the old man died, and now there isn't going to be.
When he took over Bashar al-Assad, the Western leaders, including our own, flocked to meet him and would say how optimistic they felt.
There's long been a feeling among Western governments that in some ways Syria ought to be in the Western camp because it was secular, quite Western orientated in some senses. There was a feeling, I think, among Western leaders, and Tony Blair was one of them, that if only you could just get him to give up on Iran, give up on Hezbollah, be not quite so confrontational with Israel, then maybe the whole balance in the Middle East would be altered at a stroke. But it wasn't ever going to be that easy.
And let's just have a listen to one of the interviews you conducted with him. We're heading back to 2010.
Just looking across the region, you know, it's a turbulent place. There's a fair amount of instability. How do you see it at the moment? Do you see this as a positive time or a very negative time, as many people would say?
I would say this is a critical time, and this is a time of momentous change that could happen during the next year. You have things going in both directions, the positive and the negative. And there's like a race between who's going to reach the goal first.
What's the most positive thing?
The most positive is that we've learned our lessons as countries, as government, and as people. So we think that we have to take things into our own hands. This is very important. In the past, we used to depend on others. Who's going to solve our other problems? United Nations, Security Council, great powers, USA. Now we are solving our problem. This is the most important and positive things.
It was interesting listening to him back then in 2010, saying that change was coming. I think it was clear that something was going to happen. No one quite imagined it would happen the way that it would. He gave another interview in February 2011, just as Mubarak was being kicked out in Egypt. And in that, he said that Syria was immune to the virus of revolution. The reason was that he had a connection with the people. And, you know, the strange thing about Assad was when the uprising started, even though there were always people who were utterly opposed to him and thought that the regime was dripping with blood, whatever happened, there were enough people here in Syria who believed in him. And I think that at the very, very beginning, had he said, "You're right, I agree with you, there's some serious problems," you know, things might have turned out very differently, but he didn't. What he did was the old Assad way, based on what his father did, his uncle did, in cahoots with his brothers and cousins, and he opened fire. And, you know, the rest is history.
Jeremy Bowen speaking to me from Damascus.